Okay, so I'm thanking you all in advance for your humour, humility, and prior promise in writing not to sue, a sort of reputational prenup agreement, and of course my glamorous assistant, the fantastic Andy Friars. Sparkling, but apparently he's just sparkling on the inside tonight. He maybe is wearing something sparkling. So how it works, there is considered method in all this madness, do trust me. We'll be attempting to find out at least two things tonight. One, which of our teams are the more committed, clued up and accomplished environmentalists? And secondly, we'll have a competition between our teams and you, the audience, in an attempt to prove the superior wisdom of the crowd. So we'll have a number of team questions, and I will ask you, and we'll try and have the house lights up so I can actually see a vague show of hands, and we'll try and compare your wisdom to the wisdom of the crowd. That's perfect. Thank you, technical team. So, without further ado, let us press on. And our first round is a news round. As usual, this is a picture round to start with. What is the story behind this picture? Any guesses? It's a pigeon. Marcus?
Yes, was that pigeon deployed as part of the Conservatives' election strategy in Thanet and remains to this day an undeclared expense?
Not quite. Julia, do you want to stab you guys?
Is this part of the Conservatives' new low-carbon strategy?
I love the fact
pigeon post.
It's definitely a Tory pigeon, isn't it? No, this pigeon is from the Paris-based company Plume Labs. They actually used racing pigeons armed with air quality monitoring backpacks to do live reports.
Racist pigeons or racing?
Racing pigeons. So they used racing pigeons because apparently London pigeons would be too wheezy to fly around with these ultralight backpacks on their backs. Okay, so no points to either team there. Our second picture question.
Oh. Who's that?
Well, they're really on the ball tonight. There's a big clue in the top right-hand corner of the screen. Yeah? No, okay.
No, other go, Marcus.
Yeah, this is part of a new initiative that ExxonMobil have launched that will give straight white elderly men a chance. Finally, in business and stuff, it's like a scholarship programme. Industry are leading the way, just giving older straight white men some opportunities that they would otherwise have anyway.
Plausible.
Meeting.
Yes, it was the AGM.
Absolutely refused to do anything about climate change.
Pretty much. This is ExxonMobil's AGM. They had a shareholder motion to force the company to report annually on the risks to the company's economic value and performance in the context of climate change following the Paris Agreement, especially given that the world's stock exchanges already list five times more fossil fuel assets than we can actually burn. I'll just say that once again for dramatic effect. World stock exchanges already list five times more fossil fuel assets than we can actually burn. So Exxon's embattled CEO Rex Tillerson, pictured here, said ending oil production is not acceptable to humanity. Meaning, of course, that ending oil production is not acceptable to ExxonMobil. Okay, so we're going to move swiftly on. We're going to have rapid fires, fingers on buzzers for these new rounds. What is the name of the campaign to create a $15 billion research program supported by David Attenborough, which seeks to make renewables cheaper than fossil fuels?
Oh, God, you... You Rasmus?
No.
Eureka?
These guys?
Cheeky McCheekface?
Close, that might come up in a minute. It's the Global Apollo program, as opposed to the UK government's renewables project, the POLO program, so-called because there's a massive hole in the middle of it. Eastern nation recently announced a $2 trillion transition plan towards a post-oil future.
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is the right answer. Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed Al Salman outlined the country's Vision 2030 plan to diversify the economy away from oil dependency. The new startled Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, who had vowed to fulfil her predecessor Alex Salmond's aim of making Scotland the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy and threatening to cut off their heads, hands, or lashing or stoning to death with frozen haggis anyone who claimed otherwise. Question three, who quoted Winston Churchill on the opening day of the Paris climate negotiations saying, rarely in human history have so many people around the world placed their trust in so few?
Obama.
Obama, wrong answer.
Where is
Christopher Rose? No, it was that Prince Charles. No points there either. We're really getting off to a good start here.
These questions.
No, I've been known to paraphrase Big Winston myself in the context of corporate sustainability reporting, and never in the field of human literature has so much been written by so many and read by so few. Question four, who got herself into trouble for saying, I don't accept post-operative males as females, I don't
believe Jermaine Greer.
Jermaine.
No, it's that
side.
It's Jermaine Greer.
Yes, it's like, yes. I don't believe a woman is a man without a cock. As opposed to Coldplay's Chris Martin, who following his conscious uncoupling from ex-wife Gwyneth Paltrow might be thought of as a cock without a woman. Question five. Famously quoted from a little red book in the House of Commons.
John McDonald is the right answer. Stupidly.
Not to be confused with Boris Johnson, who accidentally quoted from his little black book at a recent Greater London Authority meeting, puzzling everyone and upsetting several mothers of his various children. Six. What was the most popular name in a public poll to name the Natural Environment Research Council's new 200
Boaty McBoatface.
Boaty McBoatface is the correct answer. And a classic example of British humour and the national desire to prick po-face bubbles and pomposity wherever they find them, Boaty McBoatface attracted 124,000 votes in an online poll. What happened next?
They decided to name it after the only person they could name it after that wouldn't cause an outrage, David Attenborough, and even committed humorous when...
Exactly. This is not the first online poll to be hijacked by the internet. Other favourites included a Greenpeace competition to name a migrating humpback whale that ended up ignominiously christened Mr. Splashy Pants, by the way. And even better, we had US soft drink Mountain Dew, who ran a competition to name a new flavour, but had to back out due to the unbelievably offensive nature of ideas suggested. When they closed the poll, a tasty, fizzy, thirst-quenching treat called Hitler Did Nothing Wrong. To our event near you. Let's go.
Hang on, is that a bottle of what would have been Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Very high German mountain in the Bavarian Alps. Let's go to our first Wisdom of Crowds questions. We have the audience lights up, and this is where I'm going to ask the panelists to pick their answer out of A, B, C, or D, and then we will ask the audience first. Show of hands. So, which government department saw the biggest cuts in the 2015 government spending review? Was it A, the Treasury, B, Energy and Climate, C, Transport, or D, NHS? Audience, hands up if you think it's A, the Treasury. Did the Treasury get lots of cuts? No. B, hands up if you think it's B, Energy and Climate. Okay, hands up if you think it's C, Transport, and D, NHS. So I think the audience overwhelmingly going B, energy and climate. What's your choice? B over here and A from Marcus. The answer is, of course, actually transport. I also thought I might have misread the question, but no, he did say which government department had the biggest cuts. Otherwise, he would have been a bigger cuts. Second audience question. The Bath Bus Company recently introduced a closed-loop bus. How is this bus powered? Is it A, chicken manure, B, liposuction fat, C, Fight Club, C, human waste, or D, algae? Audience, hands up for A, chicken manure. Okay, a few. B, liposuction fat. Very few. C, human waste.
Yeah.
Wisdom of crowds here. D, algae. Yeah, just picked by C. So what was it? Juliet?
We're C.
Yeah,
you're going C. C is the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Human waste.
What is the furthest you've ever sent a bus on a single motion?
I don't know. Depends what I've been eating. Okay, let's go on to the next question. We're doing really well on the scores here. So everyone, the wizard of the crowd and the wizard of the panel was all equal there. So our next question, just for the team, is here. Which greenhouse gas is the biggest contributor to the greenhouse effect? Is it A, carbon dioxide, B, carbon monoxide, C, methane, D, nitrous oxide, or hippie crap, E, nitrogen dioxide, or F, water vapour? Just so you can just answer this one verbally. Guys, what do you think? Juliet?
I think it's water vapour.
I think it's methane. Water vapour.
We might need some agreement.
We go for methane, go on.
Methane?
Well, we're a bit torn here.
We're torn.
I think it's water. I think it's... I'm a little torn. I think it's water vapour.
I just think it's the classic
carbon dioxide. The classic.
The classic. Straight.
Not the diet. Methane here, and you're going carbon dioxide. It is, of course, water vapour.
Yes. The amount of water clown with his science.
The amount of water vapour in the atmosphere exists in direct relation to the temperature. If you increase the temperature, more water evaporates and becomes vapour, and vice versa. So when something else causes a temperature increase, such as extra carbon dioxide and fossil fuels, more water evaporates. Then, since water vapour is a greenhouse gas, this additional water vapour causes the temperature to go up even further, a positive feedback. Studies show that water vapour feedback roughly doubles the amount of water caused by CO2.
It's the same in my bathroom.
Exactly. Okay, let's go on to our next round. This is home or away. So we're going to go, the only section where we ask the contestants questions individually. You must choose between a home question, your chosen field of knowledge, or the one I've allocated to you when you didn't respond to my emails. The 1 point, or an away question for 3 points.
Look at this guy with his time.
You can discuss your home questions with your colleague, but not your away questions. Uh-oh. So, I don't think, I'm going to say, Andy, is it worth checking your scores? Have we actually got any scores?
We do have some scores. We have currently the shape of shit to come.
Yeah.
What?
We had like 30 questions.
That's the shape of shit to come.
70% banana.
70% banana, we have.
This is pausing for dramatic effect.
And currently, the audience first team is 1-1.
Lovely. Okay, so let's go to the home or away round. So, first up, Marcus. Forced to revert to Wikipedia for biographic research, Marcus's page is, I think, a masterpiece of satire. Apparently, he also goes by the stage names Montague Monty Forrest and Philippe Lavavazur. And in his early career, he worked as a part-time podium dancer and under one night club, the Ministry of Sound, and also was a roustabout in the North Sea oil rig. He's also pioneered climate change comedy, using disarming wit and, in one memorable instance, a Doctor Zoustar epic poem to draw attention to the most dangerously perfect of problems. Marcus, your home topic that I chose for you is US politics in the 20th century. Would you like to go home or away? I bet you want to go home right now.
Home? Home?
Which 20th century president suffered from polio?
Yeah, I think you're right. Who's the one in the wheelchair? Sometimes conferring out loud is more interesting. Okay. I would say that the president in the wheelchair is the most likely candidate. If I knew who that was. We think Roosevelt.
It is, of course, Franklin D. Roosevelt, the only president to serve 4 terms. He was diagnosed with polio at the age of 39 after eating a contaminated insect, which could make one of the Bush chaparrals later on a bit more interesting. Juliet. Juliet, atmospheric physicist turned renewable energy entrepreneur of the UK's nicest energy company, Good Energy. Juliet is often asked what got her started on her career path. Her answer, chocolate cake. The reason being that it made her physics lessons more palatable and helped her realise how much she enjoyed the subject. Your home topic, Juliet, is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
What?
We're going highbrow here, so
you need to go home or away.
Well, I feel slightly embarrassed by going home because probably this is the only thing that the whole family actually will listen to without Third World War breaking out in the car. So it's probably the only thing other than atmospheric physics I know anything about. But I will go away.
Well,
it's slightly embarrassing.
Okay, so your away question. Who wrote a famous essay on population growth in 1798?
Oh, God.
Arguing that population growth will outstrip food supply and predicting disaster.
Okay, can I confer? Go on.
Not on an away
Go
question.
On.
Well, Danny knows this one, I would hope so.
Go on, bend the rules.
Thomas Malthus.
Thomas Malthus.
There you go.
Malthusian negativity when the population is around 7 million in Britain. So, yeah. Are we doing well on that one? Okay, next up, I'll stay with your this side of the room. We'll go to Danny Dorling. So, Danny is the Halford McKinder Professor in Geography at the University of Oxford. As a child, like most children, Danny was constantly railing its parents about the unfairness of it all. Predictive response to the course Life's Not Fair, which led Danny to dedicate his professional academic research career to exploring precisely that statement. Multiply published, Danny's work covers a host of issues from housing health to employment, education and poverty. He's also a commissioner with the Fairness Commission, which of course is fair enough. Danny, your home topic is the carbon guzzling predilections of the super rich. Would you like to go home or away?
I'll go away.
Go away. Okay. Who is the new environmentally minded Prime Minister of Canada?
Justin Trudeau.
Bow. I'll give you that. Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau.
Very close. Yeah. So, Liberal Trudeau once boxed and beat a Conservative Senator, Pierre Brazeau, for charity in a bout which was seen as a thinly veiled metaphor for the real battle between the parties. Bringing to mind comedian Daisy Donovan's likening of the cut and thrust of politics to boxing, where you're constantly getting fisted in the ring. Sachi Lloyd was born in Manchester but raised in Anglesey, where she spent a lot of time lost in nature or down by the shore. Sachi returned to Manchester as an undergraduate but soon quit university for a life of glamour. At various points in the glitch, she's worked as a very bad cartoonist, toured the States in a straight-edge punk band, run an interactive media team and an advertising agency, co-founded a film company, and finally wound up as head of media at New Vic College, where she's currently stepped down but is still associated. Her first novels, The Carbon Diaries, came out in September 2010 to critical acclaim and have been published in 15 languages. Is Phil Pemberton?
I hope so.
Good. Your home topic is Lord of the Rings. Would you like to go home or away?
Listen, they forced us into away, I think. Do you get more points for away?
You get 3 points for away, yes.
I've gone away, away.
Okay, who is the 12th and current actor to play Doctor Who?
Oh, it's
I bet you wish this was a Wisdom of the Crowds question.
Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi is, of course, the right answer. A round of applause. Yeah. Not to be mistaken for Peter's previous role as foul-mouthed spin Dr. Malcolm Tucker in political satire In the Thick of It, who might describe his latest role as Dr. Effing Who. Okay, Andy, scores on the door. Do we have any progress on that round?
We do. Lots of away scores. So, 70% banana. I've gone from
two.
Technical there. Two.
Oh my
to
God.
Eight.
Wow. Okay, six full points there. Added on.
Wow.
Six plus two. Eight.
Okay, round of applause for these guys. Okay,
lovely.
And shape shit to come. Uh-huh. Go through an amazing one, two.
Yeah. Right. Well, the suspense is killing us.
Five!
Okay, let's bring up the lights again. Let's have another set of audience questions. We're testing the wisdom of the crowd here. So, who has the most watched TED Talk of all time? I'm sure you're all TED aficionados. Is it A, Hans Rosling? Is it B, David Blaine? C, Hillary Clinton? Or D, Ken Robinson? So, team, select your answers. Audience, hands up for A, Hans Rosling. Hands up for B, David Blaine. Hands up for C, Hillary Clinton. Unlikely, but yeah, and at the D, Ken Robinson. Oh, probably just edged by Ken Robinson. Teams, what do you think? B?
D.
The answer is, of course, D. Ken Robinson.
We don't know who he
is. Ken Robinson's 2006 TED Talk on Do Schools Kill Creativity has been watched 36 million times. I'm more interested in the band TED Talks, in particular Graham Hancock's The War on Consciousness and Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's The Science Delusion, which have 2 million views between them. Both were part of a TEDx Whitechapel event on challenging existing paradigms. In Stroke of Genius by TED were withdrawn for not aligning with existing paradigms of scientific thinking. The Enlightenment ends here, folks. Our next question. The Sustainable Development Goals came into effect on the 1st of January 2016. When are they due to expire? These are the goals to transform the world, bringing business, government, campaigning organisations together. Is it A, 2020, B, 2021, C, 2026, or D, 2030? Audience, hands up A for 2020. No. B, 2021. C, 2026. And D, 2030. So, audience says C. What do the panels say? D and C. The answer is D. So, we actually have one of the panelists beating the audience for the first time. Okay, coming back to another team question. I'm pressing you now on science and climate change again. We asked 50 members of the public which greenhouse gas they thought is the biggest contributor to the greenhouse effect. What was the top choice? Was it A, carbon dioxide, B, carbon monoxide, C, methane, D, nitrous oxide, E, nitrogen dioxide, or F, water vapor?
I think I can say A.
I'm the people's choice. I speak for the people.
Can I say carbon dioxide?
Yes,
the answer is actually methane!
Oh,
I say there are
you are the people doing chaos.
Yeah, I know, exactly. At least we've managed to establish in the public's mind that actually the climate change effect and greenhouse effect is different to the ozone layer. That's only taken 30 years. You know what's coming next is the bush tucker trial. So,
more wine.
We have some delicious tasty treats for you guys here. You get various different points for... I'd like everyone to try and eat one thing. You get different points for different beetles. So, on their plates... this is the gastronomic moment we've all been waiting for. Every 10 members we eat something. You get 1 point for a grasshopper, which is a small pile of things. You get 2 points for a cricket, or 3 for a giant water beetle or a scorpion. So you've got a giant water beetle.
He's got a scorpion!
You guys got a scorpion. So you get some other points. So this is separating the discerning from you and Justin's.
Do any of these have what could be described as a soft centre?
Mercifully no.
Fondant.
Fondant.
So, like, has its own gravy.
Luckily, this is dried and fried. Entomophagy or insectivory, over 1,000 species eaten in 80% of countries around the world.
So we must eat them all.
So who's going to eat what?
Has this got a little bit of sugar on it?
Salt.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, these are not just big, bang, shiny, crunchy, giant water beetles. Well, they are Marks and Spencer's big.
Good.
Yeah. Where's the best place to buy bugs?
Reptile shop.
Pets at home.
Flea market. Come on. What kind of bugs are in crops?
What
kind of bugs are in crops? Sticks. Yes. What do fireflies eat? Light snacks. God, you guys. So, what are we eating here? What did you guys devour? Have you eaten anything?
No, not yet.
Well, go on, tuck it.
Okay.
What are you going to have?
The scorpion.
The scorpion.
Hey, I want to check. You know the bit on the end?
Yeah, yeah, it's totally safe.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Marcus has eaten them before.
Yeah.
Marcus has eaten them before.
Scorpions? Yeah, they're delicious. Do you want to swap? I'm not even kidding. Look at the size of that.
Just a bit chewy.
We might need more wine on stage.
I've got that much water.
Yeah.
How many points for each?
So 1 point for a grasshopper.
Okay.
2 points for a cricket and 3 points for the big shiny. Well, you can know. I'm just going to ask you
one
thing.
The team has to eat one thing.
Well, yeah.
How many have we got to eat?
Have you?
It's competitive.
Gone. Scorpion went in.
Yep.
3 points for 70% banana.
Waterbeetle.
Waterbeetle. Okay, fantastic. That's a good bit. That's 5 points for the
not bad.
Leather press.
He's in.
Family, more than one.
Oh, really?
Crunchy.
You get stuck in your teeth.
The problem with the water beetle is the wing casing. It's really quite weird.
Mm. Oh. But the eyes are upsetting me.
We don't have to eat anymore.
Okay, that's pretty impressive stuff, guys. Well, we'll bring up an audience question while Marcus is chilling.
We'll share them out.
So, outside again. The proposed garden bridge across the Thames in London will supposedly cost how much to build? Is it A, 22 million, B, 75 million, C, 150 million, or D, 175 million? So, audience, hands up. A, 22 million? No, B, 75 million? C, 150 million? D, 175 million? So, I think audience is on C. What are you saying, guys? You're saying B, 75 million? You're saying... 150 million. The right answer is actually 175 million.
Did the audience
win? Yeah. It feels, so the audience, no, the audience said C. It feels like we're trying to pull off a crime, said the bridge's own designer, Thomas Heatherwick. Describing its creation as a form of guerrilla gardening, albeit on a budget of 175 million quid. Even former Mayor Boris Johnson himself admitted he's not really sure what the garden bridge is for, other than making a wonderful environment for a crafty cigarette or a romantic assignation, which basically makes it the same as every London pub beer garden.
Can I just say, Marcus is still chewing?
It's
not going away.
They normally get bigger.
Surely the chocolate factory really fucked up.
So like an everlasting
gobstopper. Stop chewing.
I'm worried it might. I'm worried it might win. If I stop chewing. I feel like I've got it on the back foot.
Cool. Right. Next audience question. Okay, so without the defeat device, the kind of software which played with emissions testing, Volkswagen cars were how many times the US legal limit for nitrous oxide emissions? Was it A, 5 times, B, 10 times, C, 25 times, or D, 40 times? Audience, hands up, A, 5 times. B, 10 times?
What's the audience?
C, 25 times? Yeah, D, 40 times. I think C just has it again. Panelists, what do you think? A, 5 times?
So we're going to say C.
You're going to go for C? The answer is actually 40 times.
Really?
That's like smoking the equivalent of 2 packets of cigarettes when you thought you'd had one, or drinking a whole litre of spirits when you thought you'd ordered a single, or both of which are probably what the Volkswagen board were doing when they found out they'd been rumbled. Next question. Which green-leaning American celebrity was the inspiration behind Tony Stark, the hero in Hollywood's Iron Man movies? What do you think? Is it A, Arnold Schwarzenegger, B, Al Gore, I don't know, C, Leonardo DiCaprio, D, Harrison Ford, E, Elon Musk, or F, Matt Haley?
Elon Musk.
Both saying Elon Musk. They did Buzz first. So yeah, the answer is, of course, Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the founder of 4 revolutionary businesses, Tesla, SolarCity, SpaceX, and Hyperloop, and played himself in Iron Man 2. Elon means tree in Hebrew, and Musk originates from the late Greek mushkos, or from the Persian mushk, or from Sanskrit muskes, which means testicle, as in musk glands from a deer's bottom, a key ingredient in perfume, when dried resemble a wrinkled scrotum. So, tree testicle it is. Not so cool now. you want. Right, we're now going to go to a rapid fire round. I'm going to have 2 minutes. This whole round is all about speed. Fingers on buzzers round. A lot of points up for grabs. I will read out continuous questions, which I will...
This is short, sir.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure.
This is short.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It's a bloody age.
Yes. Of course.
Short doors, we're all up by now.
Andy, what are the scores?
Scores
are
the doors, white doors. So far, we have an extra... ...5 points for the Mark C.
Wow!
An extra...
This is where we have the dramatic music in the background.
Did anyone see streamer Aida today talking about technology like fantasy and robots and stuff? Yeah. We've got hands. Sub Banana have an extra 6 points.
Hey! So, 1, 2, 4. Oh, 14! Right, Sub Banana is
getting quite
nasty
in there.
Okay, so, fingers on buzzers round. You ready?
I just ate a dinosaur.
You did get 3 points.
It took too long over it.
Okay, so after 2 minutes, I will signal the end of the round. You get 1 point for a right answer and 2 deducted for a wrong answer. Okay, so that's just every time. So, question 1. What is the name given to an approach on innovation that draws inspiration from nature? The clue is in the name. So, like what? Like something which reflects this wonderful design of nature, the inspiration of natural systems to produce things fit for purpose, like giant water beetles. Okay, the answer is biomimicry. Question 2. What major US company with a big presence on a high street is named after a character from Moby Dick? Think coffee. Coffee shops. Character in Moby Dick. It's a literary festival.
Starbucks.
Starbucks is the right answer. So 1 point to these guys. Which city was hit by this legendary cloud tsunami? I can actually hear people in the audience saying Sydney is the right answer. Yes. When in doubt, this is the crowd.
Good job you went in. I was going to say Woking.
Yeah. What is the name given to a form of carbon which is one atom thick?
Sydney.
Well, the atoms arranged in a honeycomb-shaped lattice is 275, stronger than steel.
Graphene.
They did actually buzz.
I shouted fast.
You shouted fast. Yeah. I'm going to give, we'll take 2 points off you. Yeah. What is the name commonly given to an area of the internet that is accessed in a way that your IP address is not visible?
Darknet.
The Darknet is the right answer. Points to Danny. Okay, this is the control room of which iconic London building?
Battersea Power Station.
Battersea Power Station is the right answer. What do the following companies all have in common? Patagonia, Natura, Ben & Jerry's and Etsy. It's to do with a kind of form of company structure, which they have, which other businesses don't.
Co-op.
No, this is wrong answer. Take off 2 points. You've got your free salad, this one.
No.
They are... not for profit.
No, benefit corporations. So allowing them to rewrite their articles of association to have a purpose beyond simple shareholder value and to deliver social environmental benefit. Which former CEO of FTSE 100 company published a book called Connect, focused on the relationship between business and society, and has been speaking at this festival this week? Used to run a very large oil company.
John Brown.
John Brown is the right answer. What is a futtock? Come on, it's on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, I was at school with him, I think. Charlie Puffer.
Take off 2 points for you guys. You got a freestyle with this one?
Is it the thing on the ground?
It's a maritime term.
Dived.
It's one of the curved timbers that forms a rib in the frame of the ship. Okay, that's an easy one. In 2011, Greenpeace ran a successful campaign against Mattel where Ken dropped Barbie for using a paper supplier that was involved in excessive deforestation. What was the name of that paper supplier? I'm only going to get that one. Asia Pulp and Paper. Final question, how many stomachs does a cow have?
Four
is the right answer. Fantastic. Andy, that must have rejigged the scores quite dramatically.
I got no idea. So, is that my best guess?
Best guess is fine. You'll take it.
I think. Whoops, sorry, on here. So, they lost 2 points, gained 2 points, lost 2 points, gained 1 point. Which must mean they basically lost 1 point.
That's good, yeah.
I don't want to worry you, Andy, but Mothra's waking up.
I'm off. Hang on.
This team won 4 points, lost 2 points, makes 2 points. So it currently going 13-12.
Oh, fantastic! And a round of applause.
Such low achievers fight so closely.
Okay, so another audience question. What is the name of the electronic ledger on which cryptocurrency transactions such as Bitcoin are recorded? Is it A, TradeX, B, Forex, C, Blockform, D, Blockchain? Hands up audience for A, TradeX, B, Forex, C, Blockform, D, Blockchain. Teams? Well, yes, unanimous decision there. It is, of course, blockchain is the correct answer. One of the biggest financial technology innovations of the decade, a huge disruptive threat to the existing financial system. One of the commentators said, it's kind of like the difference between Che Guevara and a Che Guevara t-shirt being worn by a hipster in Brooklyn. So what do the banks do? They look at Bitcoin and say, let's see, it's an open, borderless, decentralised, transparent and peer-to-peer currency. Fantastic. Can we have that without the open, decentralised, borderless, transparent, peer-to-peer, and instead add a nice dose of heavy control? No, you can't. The last question on the kind of team ones, I think, which is, which of the following gender equality campaigners also runs her own porn site? Is it A, Pamela Anderson, B, Cindy Gallup, C, Angelina Jolie, or D, Emma Thompson? That's an unlikely one. Audience, hands up for A, Pamela Anderson, B, Cindy Gallup, yeah. C, Angelina Jolie, D, Emma Thompson. Yeah. Okay, so, panellists, what do you think?
Person we don't know.
I suspect the panel might be taking their lead from the audience. Just a guess. The answer is, of course, Cindy Gallup. So Cindy's website, Make Love Not Porn, celebrates the sexual encounters of everyday people. So if watching videos of people just like yourself having sex turns you on, then sign up. Or just put a mirror above your own bed. So the last of our very confusing questions. You're standing on the surface of the earth. You walk 1 mile south, 1 mile west, 1 mile north, 1 mile south again. You end up exactly where you started. Where are you? Is it A, the Bermuda Triangle? Sounds confusing. B, Michigan Triangle. C, the North Pole. D, the South Pole. E, the Equator. Or F, the Devil's Sea. This is a test that Elon Musk gives to everyone who wants to get a job at SpaceX, his commercial space venture. So, Juliet, what do you think? Juliet and Danny.
We're going to C.
C, the North Pole.
Should we go D, South Pole?
Fine. All right, it's a split difference, so it is actually the North Pole. So, point to Juliet and Danny, 77 Banana. So now we come up to one of our penultimate rounds, the Missing Words round. I'm going to let you just kind of shout them out, and we'll have a bit of a free-for-all here. So each team is given a title of an article with part of the headline blanked out. 1 point for each correct answer. Our selected publication this evening is that rare and elusive underground publication, beloved of so many left-wing liberati and radical environmentalists, The Guardian. bargain. So coming up, first one, Rise of the Smart Farm. Get ready for what?
Designer cattle.
Designer cattle, close.
A lot of methane.
A lot of methane.
Thingy bob meat, you know, what's it called?
Thingy bob meat. Synthetic meat?
Yeah.
Any others?
Farmers in blazers.
The answer is actually satellite-controlled cows. Scotland's Rural College has been pioneering virtual fencing for remote livestock management, with cattle wearing electronic exclusion collars that will nudge them away from particular areas using negative stimuli such as irritating sounds like George Osborne's budget speeches. The next one. Katie Melua finds what living in her ear?
Worm.
Worm?
Simon Singh.
Simon Singh.
Nine million bicycles.
9 million bicycles. Any others? Not quite.
Algae.
Lord Lucan.
It is actually the right spider, for some reason. The slides are animated. Oh. The singer had a member of the Psalticidae family of jumping spiders nesting in their inner ear for an entire week. What? Apart from some rustling and random noises, both singer and spider emerged unhurt from the experience. Okay, next one. When I'm 64, world's oldest tracked bird returns to what with mate?
Shag.
Shag.
Nest.
Nest. Close. Any more?
Returns to
This could be working.
Oops. the answer is, of course, refuge. This is not a story about Joan Collins, but a 64-year-old albatross called Wisdom, who returns in Midway Atoll in the Pacific after a year's absence to her mate and a chance to add to her brood of 36 chicks. Estimated to have travelled over 6 million miles in her life, Wisdom said, "It's a long way to come for a shag, but actually I prefer Cormorants anyway." I'm talking to ornithologists out there. Last one. More than 11,000 Norwegians line up to shoot what? The picture might be a distraction. The picture is a distraction. So,
Elk. Elk.
Shoot elk? No. Close.
Moose.
Moose? No.
Caribou?
Lemmings. What else might you be shooting in Scandinavia?
Immigrants.
So, yes, 16 wolves. Wolves have emerged as the most sought-after animal for Norwegian hunters this season, with 11,500 people registering for licenses to shoot just 16 animals, a ratio of 723 hunters per wolf. The animals, of which Norway may have as few as 30 living in the wild, top the league in new figures that reveal a trigger-happy community of hunters. Desperate conservationists offered up Katie Hopkins as an alternative, but hunters declined, suggesting it might be better to feed her to the wolves instead. Andy,
is
there any shift on
the source? Yeah.
There is.
Yeah. Shift the cover.
No points.
No. I mean, this guy's got one.
Zero. What?
That seems wrong.
Send us a banana.
2 points! Hey. In a round of applause. Okay, so to our final round of audience questions. What is the collective noun for a group of rhino? Is it A, a crash, B, a colony, C, a parliament, or D, a pandemonium? Hands up for A, a crash, B, a colony,
look at the
C, a parliament,
it might name
D, a pandemonium.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So Marcus team saying A. You say A, and the audience said A, it is of course A! There you go.
And a dazzle of zebras.
A dazzle of zebras.
A journey of giraffes.
Do you know what a pandemonium is?
A mumble of goths.
A mumble of goths.
do I know what a pandemonium is? It's
Crows.
Paris. The murder of crows.
The murder of crows.
It's a parliament of what?
Owls.
A parliament of owls, yeah.
Owls.
It's a lovely of bookshops, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely. Fantastic. Okay, my last one. How many minicab drivers are registered to Uber in London now? Is it A, 5,000, B, 25,000, C, 50,000, or D, 80,000? Audience, A, hands up for A, 5,000. B, 25,000? C, 50,000? Slightly, C, D, 80,000? I think it might actually be D. For the audience, what are you guys saying? C and B. The answer is B. So it's up here. Picture me for those guys over here.
That was a pity.
Exactly.
I just found a little pin.
Yeah. Uber, fantastic company. Uber founder Travis Kalanick, referring to his company as Boober because of the success it brought him with a female sex. Also, really classily, they fired drivers in an email written in Comic Sans font, just to add complete insult to injury. Final question for these guys on the kind of the structured bits. How many times a day do the minute and hour hands on the clock overlap? Is it A, 1, B, 2, C 12, D 13, E 22, or F 23? Watch as the mental cogs work.
Road bleeding.
Have a beautiful.
Captain. All right, let's have an answer.
22.
You say 22?
In a day?
In a day.
Still working. Oh, wow.
I think it's F. I think it's 23.
23. The answer is E, 22. So that points to the next one.
Do we get
OK, there? So we're on our penultimate round now, the odd one out round.
OK, so
let's go, odd one out. So let's go to Marcus and Saatchi first. Odd one out round. Bill Gates, dressed as Austin Powers. Richard Branson, dressed as an air stewardess. George Osborne, dressed as captain of a sinking ship. And Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook. Who's the odd one out and why?
Well, at the moment, Mark Zuckerberg, because he's not dressed up. But odd one out there.
Well, we're supposed to be conferring.
I am.
They're all CEOs, aren't they? And he's not. Oh no, but he is. They don't pay tax. It's something tax, I think. Look, Osborne and Little don't pay tax. Zuckerberg, they're always getting away with tax. Now, which one of the others? Is it Microsoft or Virgin? I think Virgin do pay tax. I think they'll get their, I think Virgin's the company maybe that pays tax.
Of the millionaires on the screen, George Osborne is the only one who's not made any significant charitable contribution.
Both plausible answers, neither of them are right. It's actually the fact that Bill Gates, Richard Branson and Mark Zuckerberg are all committed to 100% green renewable energy future. George Osborne seems to take us in the opposite direction, so he's the only one who doesn't believe in that. You guys, over to the 70% banana. Yours include living legend and godlike natural historian David Attenborough, the violinist Vanessa May, Bez from Happy Mondays, and Abu Hamza. Who was your odd one out? You're allowed to confirm.
It's a tax question.
Is it tax? No, it's not tax.
It's not tax.
It's not tax.
Tax seems to be a popular thing.
They're all against breeding apart from Bez.
Is it wrong answer? Do you want to go on this
one? Yeah, I think that's a solid suggestion.
I think they've all run for political office except for Attenborough.
Again, plausible, not the right answer. No, the clue is in the fact that David Attenborough is an environmentalist, Vanessa May is an instrumentalist, Abu Hamza is a fundamentalist, Bez is just a mentalist. Which brings us to our final round of the night for our extra bonus points, our catching round. So here is a picture for your catching round. What have we got? Just feel the pop in your heart. It's the one I emailed you last week.
I'll do the question.
I didn't look at it.
You didn't look at it. It's a theme. Any suggestions from the audience?
Female
or water beetle, please.
So, lack of success.
Why is it my hybrid car working?
What?
Say again?
Why isn't my hybrid car working?
So lack of success for Clarkson's TV car show results in cutbacks in the catering.
Very nice. Anything from Shape of Shit to come?
I like the idea of George Monbiot just off screen going, it's good, but it's not what I meant.
McDonald's refuses to serve hipsters.
Yeah.
Do you want to go large with that?
How's the carbon emissions then?
Then something. Okay, so this brings us to the end. Andy, could you just be totting up the final scores while I just say a couple of words of thanks?
Not difficult.
So just in time for us to wrap things up here. So we are a privileged generation living through these unprecedented times of enormous challenge, but even bigger opportunity.
We've still got 10 minutes. We want to have a go. It's 10 minutes there.
There is 10 minutes. Do you want to? What do you want to do for 10 minutes? I've run out of questions.
Win.
Listen, I'm a straight white man with a private education. I'm not used to coming second.
And I'm sitting next to him.
To be honest, I had assumed a win when I walked in here. That's kind of what bad people do.
Yeah. I've always known you on the board of Exxon Mobil, by the way.
Again.
Now, so just time for me to say a few words of thanks. We are a privileged generation living through these unprecedented times, an enormous challenge, but even bigger opportunity, where we are reconnecting with an irresistible sense of collaborative, collective destiny, truly aligning as one global people as an integral, indivisible part of the whole planetary family. Where we change the climate by mistake, or we might fix it on purpose. Where we awake from a sleepwalk into the darkness to find ourselves blinking in the bright potential of tomorrow. Where for the first time in 100,000 years of modern human history, we begin to craft a common narrative. Where we see the world through our shared human values, not our conflicting beliefs, and where individuals, communities, businesses and governments align to imagine a better world and make it happen. Where the darkest hour is just before the dawn, and we inside ourselves find the courage, creativity, commitment and love for one another and our one and only home to expand our consciousness and make this a reality. Shit. And now the results. Andy, what have we got? Final scores on the doors.
I'm going to punch that.
What?
That was a joke.
Okay, so we have advanced the scores by one. Unfortunately, not yours.
So that means
you really are the shape of shit. So 70% banana, which actually refers to the fact that we share 70% of our DNA with a banana, means that our banana loving friends have 16 points, our shit friends have 12 points.
And what about the audience? Win. And audience versus
current. Interestingly. Up until the last question, the audience were exactly the same as the teams.
But.
Which is very a hate thing, because essentially, you are as good as the people up here. You know it anyway. If only you just sat down and could finish that chapter. Anyway. But 1 point separates the audience and the two teams. And that 1 point is Marcus Shape of Shit to come. So actually...
So the panelists
lost. Drew.
So the panelists have actually beaten the audience. Sorry, guys.
Only just. Which no, Marcus beat them. They drew with them.
Oh, I see.
Come on. Deliberately.
You're superior to the audience. Is that okay?
I knew that already. I saw a lot of them sitting about in deck chairs earlier, and I thought, yeah, I've got the measure of these.
So that means this year's bug-munching, green, globe-cutting gurus are 70% banana on the left edge here, and our honourably communicated neoliberal charlatans are kind of shape of shit to come over this side. Massive thanks to all our viewers.